You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
As you are coming back together, we're going to try one more video clip for you here to watch as a kind of an intro to the sermon today and this series on identity. So let's find our seats, and we're going to turn the lights down. Let's watch it together.
Our financial analyst training program is so competitive. We have over 8,000 applicants for 10 positions.
So, why don't you tell me, in your own words, who exactly is Annie Braddock?
Wow, that's certainly an easy enough question.
Mm-hmm.
Annie Braddock is a kind... Well, I am,
go on.
Well, easy.
Huh?
I have absolutely no idea. Excuse me.
Who is Annie Braddock? It wasn't exactly a trick question, yet somehow I couldn't formulate a response. Of course, I knew all the basic facts, date of birth, hometown, socioeconomic makeup, but I didn't really know who I was, where I fit in, who I was going to be. I was suddenly terrified I'd never find the answer.
All right, that's a video clip taken from Nanny Diaries, but it's quite revealing. I wonder how many of us live out a great deal of our lives, and deep down inside, we're actually very terrified. Because we still don't know who we are. We still don't have this ability to say to someone or to articulate to someone who we really are. And so we're going to embark on a journey with you over the next few Sundays, number of Sundays actually, probably, maybe 12 or 13 of them, to talk to you about this idea of identity. Who are you? Who are you? And if I gave you a piece of paper today and I said, all right, tell me, who are you? What kind of things would you write down on that piece of paper for me today? If I were going to read about who Susan Boos is, what would I find out from Susan Boos? All right, if I was going to read about who Adrian Smith was, what would I find out about Adrian Smith by what he wrote down on that piece of paper? And so I want us to look at this over the next several Sundays and really try to not only answer the question, who are you, but answer it in with the right answer, with the good answer, the life-giving answer that comes out of Scripture, but also then to walk out that identity. Not just to be able to say, well, this is who I am, but to be able to live that life. So there's not two paths, and we're not being pulled apart, and we're not being ripped in two by who we say we are and how we actually live out the life of that person. So we're gonna take this thing called duplicity, and we're just gonna get rid of it, and we're gonna bring ourselves together in wholeness. We're gonna bring ourselves together in healing. Pastor Dave and I sat down. We're gonna do this series together. We're gonna tag team in this series, and we're both going to preach some of the sermon messages, but we sat down together and we began to think, okay, what are the kinds of things, what are the issues that we need to deal with, that we need to look at as children of God, as saints, if you will, what are the things we struggle with? And we talked about, first of all, understanding this idea of who we are in God. And the fact that we are God's children, we're God's sons, and we're God's daughters, and He is our Heavenly Father. He's our loving Heavenly Father. He's a good Father. Those kinds of things. We talked about this idea of how much we struggle with this thing called saint versus sinner. You know, Pastor David and I tell you that you're saints. All right, everybody, say this with me. Say out loud, okay? Out loud, not scream, but you know, just say it out loud. Say, I am a saint. Everybody, let's say it. I am a saint. How do you feel when you say that? You feel saintly? I mean, what does it mean to feel saintly? I, you know, when I think of a saint, I think like Saint John, and I think a robe, you know, and like a monk kind of order and this simplistic separate lifestyle. I don't think about me because, see, I sin. So it's very difficult for me to look at myself and say, I am a saint and really buy it, you know, really like grab a hold of it and say, yeah, that's me. Because I know who I am. I know who I am when no one else is watching. No one else is listening. And sometimes that doesn't look like a saint. And yet, that's what the Bible says. So there's this angst, there's this war almost, if you will, that goes on inside of me about my identity sometimes. And so we want to really challenge us as a body of believers to begin to wrestle with some of this and look at some of this. You know, the whole idea that we have one nature. And that is the nature of Christ now, living out of us. We're new creation, all right? We want to talk about this whole conflict of spirit versus flesh. We want to talk about this search that we're all on. We may not be able to articulate it very well, but we're searching for some kind of significance, you know? We're all wondering at the end of the day, does my life matter? You know, is there something about me that's making a difference? Am I really living life? Am I really living a full life? You know, am I really doing the things that God wants me to do and God has called me to do? Am I doing His will? What is His will? Does He have a will for me? And be able to like get comfortable with some of these things, all right? And especially this idea of being life-giving in such a way that no longer am I bound by the law, but I'm free in grace, and I live out of grace now, not out of the law. And how does that work, and what does that look like? And then it gets down to this idea of, in my identity, I need to learn how to be okay with myself because I'm weak. Living in my weaknesses. Embracing my weakness so that Christ is strong through me. And so we're going to address a number of these issues over the coming weeks with you. And we're going to begin to live out of our true identity as believers, all right? Who we are in Christ. And so I want to kind of intro that today. I want to just kind of look at that a little bit here today and talk to you and get you ready for that, okay? And at the end of the service this morning, I want to be able to ask you to make a commitment to that, to living in that place of a new identity. Neil Anderson says this, and I really appreciate this from one of his books. He says, although I am thankful for my physical heritage, as probably most of us are, okay, he goes, I'm far more grateful for my spiritual heritage. He says, there are certain truths that are essential truths, and they have a practical significance that cannot be overstated. And this is what it is. A Christian gains forgiveness, receives the Holy Spirit, puts on a new nature, and gets to go to heaven. Man, that's a good deal. That's a great life right there. Let me say that all again, okay? A Christian gains forgiveness, receives the Holy Spirit, puts on a new nature, and gets to go to heaven. Now, he says this, a Christian in terms of his or her deepest identity is also a saint. All right? It's not a future thing. It's not something that we get to enjoy and experience just once we get to heaven. But until then, we have to live in some other ugly place and we have to always be constantly reminded of how sinful we are and how weak we are. Our identity is set already, all right? He says, you're a child born of God, a divine masterpiece, a child of light. You're a citizen of heaven. Those things don't sound familiar. They don't feel familiar to me. I'm always more mindful of my weaknesses and my shortcomings and my sins than I am of the reality that I'm a child of God and that I'm His handiwork, His masterpiece, and that my identity rests in Him and that He loves me unconditionally. How many of you feel like you live unconditional love? You receive unconditional love all the time. Anybody in here, you just feel like you just, Man, if you are, you are something amazing. I need to rub elbows with you more if that's how you are living. And yet that is the reality of Scripture. God loves us, and He loves us unconditionally at all times. This is the beauty of the whole thing of the gospel. You can't earn any more love than you already have. It's there. God loves you as much as He has the capacity to love. He's loved you with everything. He's expressed that love to you, and you have it. And so you can't earn it. You can't do enough right things to get it. You can't trade out for it. I work for a business in the mornings, weekday mornings, and there are members of this club I work at. And some members pay. They pay to get the benefits of the club. So every month, there's a certain amount of money drawn out of their checking account or their savings account or off their credit card for certain privileges and benefits of being a member. It's okay. It's good. It's cool. They are paying for it. They know what they're getting. They put a value on it. It's worth it to them. They pay for it. So the money's taken out. They get the benefits. It's a good deal. There are some people, though, that they do a trade out, meaning they have certain services. They have certain services that they can provide. They have certain equipment. So there's a guy that comes and he blows the snow and pushes the snow out of the driveway and the parking lot and all of that kind of stuff. And because he does that, he gets a trade out. He gets to have a family membership in the gym. He doesn't pay any money for it because he does this work. He performs a certain work in order that he can receive the same benefits that other people are paying for. They all get the same benefits, but they get them through different means. There isn't anybody there who just gets to come to the club and have the benefits of the club and it's for free. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in the world. But in the kingdom of God, it's different. Because you are a child of God, because you are a saint, and because God has sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you, and you've received that forgiveness, you don't pay for any love are benefits of the kingdom, and you don't do anything, perform anything to get the benefits of the kingdom. They're just given to you. It's free. It's all yours. Every bit of it is yours to receive. That's the beauty of the kingdom of God. That's the beauty of the love that God has for you as sons and daughters. And so here's the problem, though, is that we are geared, we are trained, and we are taught to perform, to do things so that we are accepted, that we are loved, that we get certain benefits that are really sourced out of the kingdom of God. All love is from the Father. And the beauty is that you don't earn it from Him. He just gives it. Oh, I know, probably some of you, you've been in situations where you had to earn acceptance, you had to earn love. There was some system maybe in your family dynamics that required some sort of condition for certain levels of acceptance. Maybe there was some competitiveness in your family as brothers and sisters because some got affirmed or some got lauded with praises or some got loved more than others. And so there's some kind of system that got created. It got etched in there. Well, I want to tell you, it's different in the kingdom of God, and that's where we're going to go. That's the kind of stuff that we're going to learn. Let me take you into a passage of Scripture here, and I want you to just look at it for just a moment. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And there's a reason for that, and that is because of Christ. But then there is a response out of that, and that is that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Now here's the things that we grab a hold of here. Corporately speaking, as a body, this is who we are. We're God's people. We've been chosen by God. All of us. God doesn't go through the room and say, okay, I'll take you and you and you. You two over there, and you three over here, and maybe one of you over here. And the rest of you, sorry. Doesn't happen that way. We We, the body of Christ, we are chosen as God's people. And not only that, He gives you more identity. You're a royal priesthood. You're a gathering together under a banner, if you will, under an identity as a holy priesthood, a holy nation. And this is the beautiful one. You belong to God. There's a lot of diversity in there. There's a lot of differences in there. Look around the room. There's a lot of things about you that if we came to you and said, who are you? That you would utilize to answer that question. And for many of you, a number of those things might be a little bit different. But here's the challenge, I think, for all of us, is that we get away from those things that we've always used to identify us that are not really the things that we're supposed to be identifying ourselves by, and being comfortable and satisfied and complete in Christ and Christ alone. And then feeling like I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to earn it in some other way. I don't have to perform in some other way. I'm going to tell you what, I believe that one of the most diabolical things that the enemy has used against people in the body of Christ is this idea that you have to perform, that you have to do something. This whole thing of performance-oriented acceptance. I can only be accepted if I'm good enough. And I'm only good enough if I meet this standard or if I rise to this particular bar. But the problem is that the bar keeps rising. The bar keeps moving. And that happens in the world a lot of times. It happens in families. We understand that. But it doesn't happen in the kingdom of God. The kingdom is fair. The kingdom is generous. The kingdom is freeing. The kingdom is life-giving, and that's where we want to take you, is into the kingdom of God, if you will. Let's back up just a minute to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 10 and verse 11. Paul says, I have put on the new self, the new identity. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a new creation. You became a new person with a new identity. And that's where we want to settle you. We want to like plant you there over the next coming weeks and keep you in that place of that new identity. Here's the problem. We walk through that door. We open that door and we walk through that door and we go, yeah, I'm new. I'm a new creation. I'm new in Christ Jesus. Yes. And then something happens in our lives and we go back and we close that door and we live in the old identity. And then Pastor Bill comes and preaches some sermon about identity or about newness or about creation. We go, yep, that's me. I'm over here. I'm new. I'm God's beloved. I'm accepted. Someone hands us the little pamphlet that says who we are in Christ. And we start reading through it. Yep, that's me. I'm accepted. I'm the beloved. I'm precious. Da, 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 whatever. And, it's good. Then we put that in our back pocket and then we close that door and we come back over here. And we live out of something that seems to be etched in our minds. It's like it's burnt in there, and we can't get away from it. God wants us free from this idea that we have to earn His love and His favor. That there's something that we must do. And I want to take you away from that. And that's it. We are renewed in the knowledge in the image of its Creator. That is being renewed, as in it is constantly happening for us, all right? As we go through this life, we are constantly being renewed and reminded, hopefully, of who we are in Christ Jesus. And as we grow in that, we live out of that, all right? So now the ways in which we formally identified ourselves according to Scripture. Pastor Dave brought this out so beautifully last Sunday. The ways now in which that we formally identified ourselves, we no longer apply those. We don't live in that place anymore because of Jesus Christ. All right? We don't live under some kind of works. We don't live under some kind of performance. We live out of this identity. And so if I ask you, who are you? What kind of things would you tell me? You might tell me your religion. You might tell me your race. You might tell me things that you do. You might tell me your job. You might tell me personal accomplishments. Those things don't matter. Those things don't do it. They don't get it. All right. They don't make you who you are. Those are characteristics about your life. You know, but Paul says all that doesn't matter anymore. Look at Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes and he says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever I was using to profit me, I don't know what is going on with that. Can I try the other microphone? Paul says, all these things I've been using, they don't do any good anymore. They don't profit me anything anymore. They don't get me what they were getting me. And the reason is because he learned something. He gained something in his understanding. His mind got changed and he got renewed with an encounter with Jesus Christ. And out of forgiveness, he begins now to live differently in terms of how he thinks about himself and about God. And so now he's saying, hey, I don't live in this place anymore. I don't take all of these accomplishments and use them to profit me in some way. And so he says, I have an identity. And this is the kind of a big point here. I have an identity, and it lies in the fact that I am a child of God. Not in who I am or what I can do. Matter of fact, Paul, just prior to this passage, says, you know, if anybody could boast in their own confidence, their own flesh, I could do that. I could live out of my own accomplishments. I could live out of my own efforts. I could live out of my own works. He even, in that passage, begins to kind of describe who he is as the Apostle Paul. And he describes his heritage, and he describes some of the things that he's done. But he says, that's no longer me. Go to the next verse. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to this surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. All right, so he discounted, he let them go. All these things he had accomplished, all these things that he had done, all these identifiers that he was using, the fact of his citizenship and everything else, he says, you know what? I count it as a loss. I'm going to lose it right here. But he goes beyond that. He says, I consider them rubbish. The Greek translation is dung. Paul had kind of an earthy language about him. It's of no more value than poop, is what he's saying. He's not trying to be seedy here. He's just saying, hey, that's the best analogy I have for you, is that really all of my personal accomplishments, they're not any more valuable to me now than the things that I flush down the toilet. Ooh. What are you holding on to that identifies you? What are you placing value on in your life to give you a sense of identity? What are the things that you've worked so hard to bring into your life, and they have such value to you that they have usurped the place of truth and who you are in Christ? And I want to challenge us that we go beyond that place now, and that we begin to look at a few things. Here's some of the things that we want you to understand, all right? And these are going to be kind of the major themes of what we're going to talk about over the next few Sundays. And one is this whole idea of unconditional acceptance, all right? We're going to tear down this performance-driven acceptance kind of thing. We're going to look at our righteousness and our worthiness and grace,
And the really big idea that's going to come out in all of these messages over the next weeks is this idea of that we're going to quit trying to earn that is already freely given. That's going to be like the key that unlocks the door that releases you from your prison, so to speak. All right? You don't have to earn something that is freely given to you. And so then you don't have to keep overcompensating in certain areas of life. You don't have to focus on those things that are weaknesses and then try to do something to make up for that place anymore. And that's going to come out of this understanding of the beauty of grace in our lives. And how to apply that grace in such a way that we're freed up. And there we find the place of rest. So here's some of the things that we're going to deal with. We're going to talk about Christ's righteousness over our self-righteousness. And we're going to get free from that place of living out of self-righteousness and being satisfied and content with the righteousness of Christ in our lives. And that's going to bring us to the place of understanding and finding the rest of God. God's rest as opposed to the futility of performance. Have you ever gone through a day or a week or a month or a season of life and you know at the end of the day, when you're all by yourself, no one's around to really listen to you, or you don't have to feel the pressure of the eyes of others, and you're just alone. It's sort of like it's just you and maybe God is there in some sense, some form. You feel Him or you sense Him there. But the thing that is most like screaming loud in your head is, I am so tired. I'm that little critter that's in that wheel that just keeps spinning over and over and over, and I never get anywhere. I'm so emotionally drained. I'm so physically exhausted. I'm so spiritually void. And I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go. Ever been there? Man, I have. It's an ugly place, isn't it? It's a lonely, ugly place for us to find ourselves. So I want to bring you into this place. As we start out this new year, I want to bring you into this place with us where we together are looking at who we are. And we're able to start answering this question, not based on what we've done in the past. Because the Apostle Paul says, after he talks about this whole thing of, I count all this as dung. In other words, I flush it all this stuff I've tried to do to make myself somebody. Then he comes back and says, now, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Here's what I want you and I to be able to do. Look at ourselves honestly and with a true, genuine confession, be able to say, you know what? I'm not perfect. Not with disgust. Not with anxiety. Not with frustration, not with self-hatred, but with the confidence that I am loved by God, but I'm not perfect. Paul says, here's what I want to do. I want to know Jesus and Him crucified. And here's what I could do. I could boast about some things because I've done some things, but that's not where I'm at. Matter of fact, here's where I'm at. I've decided all that's dung and I'm just going to flush it. But here's what I'm going to do. Realizing that I'm not perfect, I'm putting the past behind me and I'm pressing forward. I'm not going to get stuck here in this place of what I did right and didn't do right, or what I have been able to do or couldn't do, where I have failed and where I did accomplish something. I'm not going to be wondering every night when I go to bed, am I loved? Am I saved? Is God there? How can I be a saint when I just did what I just did? No, we're gonna lay down at night, embracing the peace of God and resting in the assurance of the love of Jesus Christ. and realizing that tomorrow morning I don't have to wake up and do it all over again and perform and perform and perform and be and be and be and do and do and do until I'm once again exhausted and depleted and have nothing else to give. What an ugly, hellish road for believers to be on. Can we get free? Yes. Yes. And here's what I want to do today is I want to build on what Pastor Dave and I have already said to you. There is hope that comes through Jesus Christ. There's a great hope that comes through the understanding of who we are in Christ. And so we live now in grace and not in the law. And that's another one of the things that we really want to share with you in the coming weeks. We're going to live out of total dependence on Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, is that humility that Pastor Dave preached to you about last Sunday. Rather than out of our own self-performance or our self-righteousness or this kind of independence and self-reliance that so many of us grab a hold of. How will I know I'm loved when I've done enough? How will I know when I've done enough? You won't. That's the cycle. That's the will of the enemy. He's gonna tell you you're never good enough. He's going to tell you it's never going to be enough. And so there's always going to be this deficit that's put in your mind and in your heart by the enemy of your soul because he wants to keep you running. He wants to keep you performing. He wants to keep you on that wheel exhausted so that you're ineffective for the kingdom of God. I want to release you from that place so that you find rest in Jesus Christ and you can be effective and do the things that God has called you to do, not to earn His love, but to fulfill your identity and your destiny. And to live in that place day by day by day. Because there is the place of life. There is the place of goodness. There is the place of rest in God. And so I want to challenge you and I to take this year and make this a year of personal discipleship and maturing. Here's what we've done, folks. We have decided in the church, and at some point in time, our mindset became solidified in a deception. And that deception is that freedom equals maturity. Freedom equals maturity. It does not. Maturity is a process. You can be free today, now, in Christ. That's the good news, is you get free right now by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have to earn that. You don't have to work at that. You don't have to do a lot of things in some particular sequential order. And then at some point, finally, somewhere down the road, God's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, okay, you finally did it. You're all right now. No, you're free in Jesus Christ. But maturity is a process. Discipleship is a process. And that's the place where we grow, and we grow together in an environment that is life-giving. So there's no law being hammered down on us, and we're not pointing our fingers at each other, and we're not judging one another and criticizing one another and living under some kind of false expectations or living under some kind of standard or barcode that keeps moving and keeps changing. And so we just have to keep fighting and struggling and moving forward. No. That's not who we are. That's not where we are. That's not Life Church. That's not life. Let's live our name. Let's live out of who we are. All right? Let's live out of the fact that Jesus says, I have come to bring you life and to bring it abundantly. I've talked to a couple of people about sharing testimonies with you, and so in the coming Sundays, they're going to do that. And there are people in this church that have walked this truth out. They're living in the reality of this truth. Are they perfect? No. No. But they're saints, just like you. And they've learned the reality of sainthood. Who they are in Christ. And they're beginning to live that out and walk that out. And so every day they're coming back to this reality that in Christ, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And so we have this new identity. And we're going to live this new identity out. We're going to learn how to live it day by day. And as we do, we grow. And so that's what I want to give you today, all right? And here's the thing that I want you to understand as we close today. I want to give you kind of like two more ideas here. And that is this, that who we are determines what we do. And we've kind of twisted that thing up, you know? And so we've kind of decided that, well, it's what I do that determines who I am. So when I do bad things, I'm a bad person. When I do good things, I'm a good person. And my problem, see, is that I still have a flesh, and my flesh still wants to do bad things. But as Pastor Dave explained to you last Sunday and did such a great job of that, you don't have to come out of this flesh. It doesn't dictate your identity. It doesn't dictate who you are. Jesus declares your identity. And you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. So now we live out of a different position. We live out of this royal priesthood of saints. And as a saint, I will sin. I will visit that place because I still have this flesh body that I'm living in, this corruptible body, this clay jar, if you will. But see, here's the thing about this clay jar. Kayla and I were driving towards the airport to take Pastor Daniel and Carla and those guys to leave for Brazil yesterday. And then we drove back the same route, and there's a restaurant there on the side, and it's called the Cracked Pot. Kayla looked at me and said, "Tell Pastor Dave about that one." And I laughed. It was hilarious to me because I was thinking, you know, I think about cracked pots, you know. Well, some of us have had cracks in our pot. Some of us have had tough places. Some of us are like that picture of the potter in the Old Testament. It's just so messed up, it's got to start over. That was me. That was the day I found Jesus. He threw this old, messed up pot back on the wheel. Yeah. It needed reshaping. It needed a deep work. I needed the Father to put His hands down inside of me and begin to work from the inside out. But today, I'm a saint. Yeah, I sin. But I want to tell you something. I'm a God-filled clay pot. And there is light in me. And there is light in you. And that light we want to see released. And that is where we want to go. As God's people, we are going into the place of light. We're walking out of this darkness and into this place of light. This is what Paul wrestles. This is the great wrestling of the Apostle Paul. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do are the very things that I am doing. And he's got this angst going on inside of him. And at the same time, he's this man who can say, with great confidence, everything I tried to do in my own self, I'm going to cast it away now. And all I'm going after is Christ and Him crucified. And that's what I want to know. And that's what I want you to know. That's what I want all of us to grab a hold of and to grow in. Now here's the thing. All of you got these grids. You got these maps about your life. You got this navigational system. All right? You got all these influencers, all these things that over time have influenced you. People have influenced you. Authority figures have influenced you. The world and culture has influenced you. People in your family have influenced you, good or bad. There's been all of these influences. And so now you've built this system of grids, and you filter everything that comes into your life through these grids. Even your understanding and your belief system is filtered through all of these grids and these different experiences. And so you begin to do this navigational thing in life, and you begin to move about based on what you have experienced and all these voices and all of these influences that have come in. And so now you have this system of beliefs about life and about yourself, and some of them are very ingrained. And here's the problem: we're not computers. We can't just go hit the delete button and get rid of some of this stuff just immediately and it's over, and then we just reprogram and we start fresh. I would love a reboot. I would love to be able to say, okay, God, here's the list. Let's just delete. Let's get this out of here. But it doesn't happen that way for you and I. The Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And as we grow in understanding, as we get these things, listen, I'm all for your experience. I'm all for experiential faith. I'm all about you having a good time in church. I'm all about you sensing the presence of God. I'm all about the hair rising up on the back of your neck and you feeling the warm feeling and tingling going on and all those kinds of things. And all of those things are telling you that the presence of God is here and you've come into His glory and all that. I love all of that. But that does not take the place of truth and understanding. A feeling and an emotion can sedate you, but it can't free you. You're freed by truth. The Bible says it so. You're renewed when your mind is transformed and these truths enter in and they take root and they are established in your mind. And here's what I found. When I know the truth, the warm fuzzies are way better. The perks are really wonderful. I want to get your mind. That sounds cultic, doesn't it? No. I want to teach you truth, okay? I want to teach you truth. I want you to begin to understand the truths and the realities of the Bible. And then I want you to see the glory of the Lord. I want you to grab a hold of all of that. But I want you ready. I want you grounded in your faith. I don't want you at the end of the day finding yourself once again all alone and wondering, who am I? I want you to know your freedom in Christ. That's where I want you to be. And so I want to challenge you. I want you to stand with me. I want to take you to Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. You know, there's something about a fresh start. I love New Year's Day for several reasons, but one is because it's like it is the most sensible starting place to start over or to start fresh. I'm revved up about this year. And I have to be careful because at the beginning of the year, I can go in all kinds of directions. We should do this. We should do this. We should do this. You know, I'm not as much about quitting or stopping something as I am about starting something. And so I'm like, okay, we should focus on identity. We should focus on worship. We should focus on prayer. We should focus on warfare. You know, all those kinds of things. And the reality is that I know. How do I know? It's just in me. It's just in me. I don't know how to explain this, but Pastor Dave and I were sitting one day and we started talking about this whole thing about identity, and it just started to, you know, it rose up in us. I don't know how to explain it exactly, but it's like, yeah, that's what we need. I know this is where we need to be right now. All right? And we're out of identity. We're going to be able to write more of a definitive mission statement about what we do. But let's not start with what we do. Let's start with who we are. All right? We've been identifying what Life Church is and who Life Church is and what that's supposed to look like. All that's good, okay? All right, now let's take it to a personal level and let's start talking about who we are, all right? Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. They are camped on the side of a river. They are waiting for God to give them direction. They're staying right where they are until God speaks to them to move. And so the men are going through the camp and they're talking to the people and they're telling them, okay, now, tomorrow, Joshua just spoke the word of the Lord. As the prophet of God, Joshua just said, hey, tomorrow God's going to do something. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready to meet God. All right? And so they've been camped there and they've been waiting. And now God's about to move. And so the men are going through the camp. The leaders are going through the camp and telling the people, here's what you need to do. When you hear this, you do this. When you see this, you do this. You respond. And I think there's several reasons why they're doing that. One is, of course, understanding. Another is the fact, though, that at this particular time, it is flood stage of the river. This isn't the easiest situation. There's a tremendous obstacle here. It's called floodwaters. Sometimes this river, you could find places where it's crossable at certain seasons because there's a lot of dry ground. But not now, not in this season, not at this place. There's no place to cross it easy. It's going to require something more than human effort to cross this river. And so the people are getting instruction from the leaders. And the leaders are saying, hey, when you hear this, this is what you do. And so he's saying, consecrate yourself because tomorrow you need to expect something. Do something so that expectation rises up in you. Set yourself apart because God's going to come on the scene. And if you read that story through, you realize that that's exactly what happened. The people consecrated themselves. They took the Ark of the Covenant, stepped into the water, and as they stepped into the water, God did a miraculous thing. The waters parted, and they were able to walk through because they were God's people, and He was their God, and He is faithful. Now, let me fast forward you to the New Testament and take you to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I urge you, brothers and sisters, that in light of God's mercy, or in view of God's mercy, you do this. You offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, because this is your spiritual act of worship. You and I, God is saying, it's time to offer yourself a sacrifice. Set yourself apart. Consecrate yourself so that God can come to you. Here's what I want you to do today. Is I want you to join me, just right where you are. I want you to join me in an act of consecration. I want to pray over you because I want you to become very open to the things of God. I want you to become very open to the teachings that you're going to receive. It's going to be difficult. Some of the things you're going to hear over the coming weeks, they're not going to sit right because of the grid that you've been living out of for so many years. Some of the deceptions that have taken root in your heart are going to be very difficult to bring down, to dismantle and bring down because you've believed these lies for a long, long, long time. But I'm telling you that God is coming to Life Church for the purpose of setting us free and releasing us from all of these things that we've been doing and doing and doing for so long. And we're going to start living out of our true identity as the people of God. And so I want you very open. I want you very ready for the truth, the Spirit of the Lord to come in truth. And I want to give you great hope today.
David says, why so cast down, O my soul? Put your hope in God. I don't want your hope to be in me or Pastor Dave or Pastor Daniel or anyone else. I don't want your hope to be in what you do, what you have done, what you're planning to do. Maybe you've already made that list. Maybe you've already written out that list for the new year, and these are the things I'm going to do, and this is the way it's going to happen. No. Could we first just say, hey, I set myself apart. I consecrate myself. I offer myself as a living sacrifice unto God because I want to see God do great things in my life this year. And I'm willing to open my mind and open my heart to receive instruction. And I'm willing to take the truth of God's word and live it in my life. And I'm willing to live out of who I am and not what I do. And if you're willing to do that, this will be one of the most spectacular years of your life. And that's what I'm asking God for. I'm asking God for the biggest year that Life Church has ever experienced corporately. And I'm asking God for the biggest year for you in your personal walk with Him that you have ever experienced. Will you consecrate yourself with me today? Will you join with me right now? And would you just set yourself apart? I'm asking you right where you are this morning, present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. Lay down your will. Lay down your personal desires and your personal agendas. Some of you will need to go home and actually tear up that little sheet you wrote out yesterday about all these things you're going to do in the new year and start over. I don't want a single person in this room to be bound by performance-oriented acceptance ever again. And we can help you get free if you will be honest and open and let the Spirit of the Lord come upon you. We've been camped. We haven't been able to cross over into that place of greater freedom. But I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying, set yourself apart. Consecrate yourself. I'm going to do great things. I'm going to do great things. Let me pray for you right now. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to come to every person in this room. I ask you to begin by your Spirit to breathe upon every person in this room. And I pray for truth and revelation to come over the coming weeks. I pray, God, that you settle the identity of every person in this room according to Scripture, according to your truth, and your truth alone. I pray, God, that you begin to break the yokes of the enemy, the lies and the deceptions of the past. I pray, God, that you speak the identity of saint upon every person in this room. And I pray that you release every person here from performance in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that every deception, every lie, and every false pretense of the enemy be broken right now in Jesus' name. And I pray that the Spirit of truth rise up. By faith, God, I call the Spirit of truth to rise up in the hearts and the minds of every person in this room. I pray for a new willingness to present themselves as living sacrifices. I pray for a new willingness to lay down anything that hinders and stands in the way of truth and acceptance. I pray, God, that the old grids be broken and dismantled. I pray, God, that independence and self-reliance be disbanded. I pray that pride be broken and that humility be released on us as the body of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you begin to grow in every person this revelation of who they are. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Amen.